Okay, so we've officially started the call. We're recording right now. And let me just do something here. Marie, which is your phone number? That you're calling from, the last four digits? Marie?
Yeah, hi. There's a lot of echoing.
Yeah, I'm going to fix that. Marie, the last four digits of your phone number, which is it?
6249.
Okay, there you are. Okay, hang on one second, everybody. Okay, so now 6249. All right, so let me see if I can unmute you, Marie. Hang on one second. Oh, that's not working. Okay, hang on. Let's see if we can do it another way. Okay. Hang on one second, Marie. I'm trying a new thing that I'm not familiar with. So.
Oh, that's okay, Daryl.
Okay, good. Now I can hear you. So, gang,
great.
Let me just go through some ground rules. Marie, you're the only one that everybody can hear right now, okay? So, gang, for those of you that this is your first conference call, let me just say, number one, we're recording this, and we're going to post it on the website after the recording. I do want to point out a technical thing. We're just having challenges having our system automatically email people reminders about the call every month. So what you really need to do is do not rely on me emailing you reminders about the conference calls every month. What I need you to do is if you go to thepowerprogram.com, which is your website, you'll be able to see the dates in advance. So put that in your calendar, put the phone number down in there. We're going to try and work out some kind of system where we can remind you guys, but do not count on that. So you need to be responsible to know when the calls are. And like I said, the best way to do that is look on the website and in advance schedule it however you manage your schedule. I think we only have April's date up. After that, we don't have May, June, July, but I'll put those up there before April's call. Okay, so Marie, like I said, you're the only person that everybody can hear right now. I've got everybody muted, so what I'll do is let me just work with you right now. And so one of the questions you asked, Marie, was, and I'm going to just read this. Daryl, love you and your power program. Thank you, Marie. Appreciate that. I need some advice again. A homeowner to reframe the overinflated value of his home. Comps do not work because he counters with things like, yeah, but, you know, we got great schools, new paint, great baths, huge lot with so much potential. So your concern is you feel if you point out the fact that it's only two bedrooms and needs a new roof, that it's on a main street, that, you know, he's going to get defensive. You also said that this is his mother's house. And he lives next door.
Next town.
Okay.
Yep.
So, by the way, there's more people calling in. I welcome to the call. We've already started. Marie, so here's the first thing. Is his mother's house, is his mother alive, living in it?
No, she passed away. And just a little side note, he's a professional finisher. So the house is beautiful inside.
Okay.
And it is a nice-looking house. But it's a small house, and he's using his own comps and knowledge and comparing it to a three-bedroom split that just sold, another Cape in another town. And no matter what I say, he's very nice. He's very polite. He keeps telling me he'd like me to bring buyers. He wants to give me a key to the house, but he doesn't want to list it.
Yeah, well, first of all, don't do that, right? So if he's not willing to commit and list with you, you shouldn't be showing work on the property. Especially if it's overpriced. Yeah, so definitely don't do that. You have to explain to him, you know, your job is to be a fisherman. You know, one of the analogies that I love that I teach is you have the pricing CDs, Marie. So there's there's a lot of analogies in there to help you. But the one that I like is, you know, if we're trying to catch a fish, which would be the buyer, well, you can go out and try and catch it yourself and go out to a lake and throw a fishing pole out into the lake. But what's better is you go out to the ocean with a trawler and use a big net. And so what you're doing when you just have one or two agents coming to your house, you know, bring me a buyer, here's the key, like what you want me to do. Well, that's like just taking a fishing pole out in the lake. What I need you to do is hire me or hire another agent if it's not me. But you need to hire an agent so they can use their trawler, go out into the ocean with their big net, and that net is the marketing that they do. And if you've ever seen any of those shows or watched TVs or movies, there's always a crew on board that are helping the captain of the boat. Well, that's the other realtors. So my job as a marketer is to be a captain of this trawler and get all my crew, which is all the other realtors, trying to bring these fish on board. And that's how you sell a house. That's number one. Second thing is, you know, you got to get clear about his commitment to selling. If he inherited the this house because his mom passed away, and I'm going to assume, or I'll ask you, do you know if there's a mortgage on the property?
The house is paid for. He's only paying the taxes.
Yeah. You know, those you think that those would be, you know, really easy listings to get. But what happens is people get greedy. You know, it's like a lottery ticket. You know, he's got.
That's exactly what it is. And he's an only child.
Yeah, so the fact that, you know, he doesn't have mortgage payments that's bleeding him, there isn't really that urgency to sell. And so that's working against you.
Should I just take a back seat and wait?
Well, I got more for you, so let me just go through it all.
Great, thank you, Daryl.
Yeah, you're welcome, Marie. So what was I going to say now? I just jumped out of my head. Hang on a second. So it's a lottery ticket. There isn't a sense of, oh, yeah. What you've got to be careful, which, gang, this happens to, and I'm talking to everybody on the call, what happens to us sometimes is that we're more committed to selling the house than the homeowner is. And there's a lot of different reasons why that is. Sometimes we see a really good listing, and we know we can sell it. And if the homeowner would just cooperate with us on the major thing, which is the price, or sometimes it's the length of listing they're willing to give us. So what happens is we get excited about the possibility of moving this property for them, and that excitement gets us more committed than they are. And that never will work. So you have to you've got to pull back on your commitment to trying to help this guy. If he's not committed to selling, you can't help him, because all we do is work with people who are committed to selling, period. Now, let me ask you this. Property values in New Jersey in your market, are they going up, staying the same, or going down?
They're going up.
Okay.
And my town high school was rated number one out of 310 high schools in New Jersey.
Okay, so it is possible that you can maybe take it overpriced if the market's going to catch up to it. But, you know, you got to be careful that, you know, of course there is, you know, if the house should be listed at 300 and he wants to list it at 400, for example, yeah, well, that's too big of a spread. It'll never get caught up. I mean, if it took a year, the problem with going a year is we all know this, that houses are like bread in the supermarket. The longer they stay on the shelf, the more stale they become. There's got to be a balance between taking it a little overpriced where it'll still sell. The next thing I'm going to tell you is that I'm going to give you two techniques, and this is for everybody. Any of you that attended, you know, I'm seeing some people come on the call that, New Orleans or something, where I was just there a couple of weeks ago. This is a technique that I did in my seminar. And Marie, I didn't do it in Sure Results, but if you attended the free seminar in Jersey, I did the same thing called the dollar bill technique, which is one of my favorites. And then I'm going to give you another technique that you haven't heard before unless you listen to the CDs. The dollar bill technique is that when a homeowner like this guy who's a finisher and he's done all these wonderful improvements to the house, you know, you could say to them, now, by the way, before I do this analogy, I'm going to really highlight something. If you're talking to somebody who's committed to price and not committed to moving, almost all the analogies that you would use to get that listing is not going to work. It's going to fall on deaf ears, because no matter what you say, they're just now not being reasonable. You know, these analogies are based on talking to another human being who's grounded in reality. It's almost like I've never shared this publicly, but my mom was an alcoholic, okay, and she's a very functioning one, but she was. And from time to time, talking to her, coming from a place of reality, didn't work because she wasn't grounded in reality because she was drinking. Do you follow me, Marie?
Yes, I do.
All right. So the same concept. If you're coming from a place of reality to help somebody sell their home, but who they are is committed to price, not selling, then anything you say is not going to work because they're not in the same plane of reality as you are. Does that make sense?
Oh, boy, does it. Daryl, you hit the nail on the head.
All right, great. So now let me give you the analogy anyway. Before I do, let me say this. You may need to have a clear conversation about commitment to selling, period, first. Like, what's this guy's name?
Walter.
So I would say, Walter, let me ask you a question. Are you committed to price or are you committed to selling this property? Like, what's that?
I was going to answer. I asked him that question, and he said,
"Oh, you did."
Well,
okay.
He doesn't have to sell right away because the taxes are paid for a year.
Okay.
But he has an emotional attachment to the money because he wants the dollar amount so he can put his brother, who's bipolar, into a group home, and he'll be covered the rest
okay.
of his life. So that's why he's
and
committed to that price. So,
God, what's the price difference? Like, what do you think it should be listed for, and what does he want?
About $50,000.
There's a $50,000 difference.
At least, yeah.
Yeah. And how long do you think it would take if the market is going up for it to get to that point?
In New Jersey, even though this is a great town and a popular town, it would still probably take a year.
All right. So I'm going to still give you the technique because there's other people on the call that this techniques are going to help. But here's
well,
my
I'm
advice.
Sure I can use...
Yeah, here's my advice specific to this person. If he's got a brother that he's concerned about physically, number one, and number two, logistically, the taxes are paid for the year, so that it's not costing him anything to own the property. And if the property values are going up, then it would make sense for him not to sell now and to wait maybe 6 months. And then at that six-month mark is when I would start to look at putting it on the market a little above the market price, and perhaps 6 months later it might sell. So that would be my advice specific to this guy. Now, when you do that, he may change his tone. You know, he may say, well, no, I still like you to bring buyers. No, there's no point in bringing buyers because, as a matter of fact, the worst thing you can do is keep a house on the market when it's overpriced because the longer it sits there, then all the other agents and all the other serious buyers, they're going to know that, well, this has been on the market for a long time, and it becomes a white elephant, and then it'll never sell. So you need to take it off the shelf, otherwise you're going to get stale. But let me let me go over the dollar bill technique, and I'm going to give you one other technique that I don't normally teach and everybody's going to really appreciate. The dollar bill technique is when they say, I've done all of these improvements, my house is nicer than the other comps that you're showing me. You know, I would say, Marie, if I were to give you a $101 bill, and I'm going to do this quickly because, again, I think most people on the call have heard me do this. Marie, if I gave you $101 bills, they're beautiful, they're crisp, they're clean, they're improved, whatever, and I say go to the mall and sell each one of these dollar bills, 100 of them, and sell them for 95 cents in the mall, how long do you think it would take you?
10 minutes.
Yeah, and let's say I gave you these same wonderful bills, they're beautiful, they're clean, and I say go to the mall and sell them for 90 cents, how long do you think it would take you?
I'd be mobbed, they'd be gone.
Yeah, and if I said 85 cents, you'd say, heck with the mall, you'd buy them yourself.
I'd keep them myself.
Yeah, that's right. Now let's say I give you $101 bills, they're beautiful, they're crisp and clean, and I say go to the mall and sell each one for $1.10. I mean, they're beautiful, they're clean, but they're a dollar, and I'm saying sell them for $1.10, how long will it take you?
I'd be there for a long time.
Yeah, probably never. So here's my point. No matter how crisp and clean and how well you finish the property, Walter, you can't sell a dollar for $1.10. Now, I will give you I'll tell you what you have done by doing such a beautiful job. Let's say you're going to buy a dollar, Walter, and you've got two to choose from. One is beautiful, clean, crisp. It's been improved upon. You got another one that's dirty, stained, stinky, crumpled, torn. They're both a dollar, and you're going to buy one of them, which would you buy, the nice, clean, crisp one or the nasty, dirty one?
The shiny penny.
You buy the nice, clean one. My point here is all the wonderful improvements you did to your mother's home doesn't make the dollar worth more than a dollar. It just means it'll sell before the other dollars. Now, last technique I want to give you, and then I'm going to go on to the next person. And that technique is the bank appraisal technique. Now, Marie, have you ever gotten bank appraisers asking you for comps?
I do, yes.
You do?
I have a BPO certification.
Here's what I'm going to ask you to do. And everybody, if you've ever had a bank appraiser ask you for comps, here's what, and if they're not asking you now, you can go back and ask them to write this letter that I'm going to suggest. You would have them use their appraisal letterhead that would say, "Dear Marie, could you please provide me with some comps for 1010 Hunahuna Lane?" Obviously, put in a real address there. So it's just one statement, okay? If you get any new requests, you can say, "Do me a favor, just give it to me in writing in an email or fax it over." And Marie, you want to get like 2-3 letters, maybe even 4, from different appraisers asking for different comps for different properties. And then here's what you do. When you go, before you present price to a homeowner, you'd say, let's use this guy Walter as an example. Walter, let me just tell you about pricing a property and why it's so important to price it, especially in today's market. You know, the banks have got their teeth knocked in by giving loans on properties that were above property value, and so they're really, really conservative, because here's what happens. When a buyer, let's say you have a buyer who really wants to buy this house, and they're willing to pay you $50,000 more, so they pay you that, right? And you go to contracts, and now they go to a bank and ask the bank for 80-90% of the value of what they paid for. So the bank has more of a vested interest than the buyer, because they're fronting 80-90%. And because they got their teeth kicked in, they're going to be very conservative. So they send in a bank appraiser. The bank appraiser looks at the comps. The bank appraiser says, it's not worth that. They tell the bank. The bank tells the buyer. The buyer tells the attorneys. And all of a sudden, the deal fell apart. And here's the worst part of it. It could take a month, 2 months, 3 months for this to happen. And all this time, we've taken the house off the market. We've lost valuable time. So I want to show you something. Because I'm an active agent in the marketplace, I have bank appraisers calling me, asking me for comps. Let me show you. Here's a couple letters. Here's one from ABC appraiser asking me for comps on 1010 Hana. Here's XYZ asking me. So because I'm in the field day to day, I actually have these bank appraisers asking me for comps. Now, here's the good news. When and if a bank appraiser asks me for comps in your property, we're going to actually take a look at the very comps that the bank appraiser is going to see before they see it. So we're going to be very smart in how we price our properties so we don't have that happen. Doesn't that sound good? And so what you're doing, Marie, is you're validating the comps. Now, everybody, listen to what I just said, what I'm about to say, because it's very important. The mistake that we use when we use CMAs and comps is we'll show the comps, and then the homeowner will disagree with them, and then we try and justify why our comps are correct, and it almost turns into a right-wrong conversation. You're trying to be right about your comps at the same time making the homeowner wrong. So what you do is actually validate your comps before you present them with this technique. And it just goes a lot smoother. Did that help you, Marie?
Daryl, you're fantastic. Thank you so much.
Well, please tell my fiancé that.
Daryl, I think you're absolutely wonderful, and your fiancé is very lucky.
Oh, you're sweet. Thank you, Marie. Okay. All right.
All right. Thank you so much for so much time.
Yeah, you're welcome. So everybody, I just unmuted everybody on the call, and so I can hear everybody. And I'm looking for Steve Seidman. Steven, are you on the call? Steven Seidman, are you on the call?
I'm on.
All right, I know I can hear you all. I just want to see if Steve, because Steve had asked me. Oh, he sent me a bunch of emails. All right, hang on. Rhonda Wallace, are you on the call? Rhonda, are you on the call? Okay. Jay. Jay Mankus, are you on the call?
Yes, sir.
All right, Jay, give me the last four digits of your telephone number.
3859.
Hang on a second. 3859. This is the number you're calling from now? There it
yes.
is. Okay, I see you. I see you. Hang on. I'm going to do something. Just give me one. Actually, I don't have to do this because there isn't a lot of echo, so I'm going to make it easy. It's complicated, this computer thing I'm doing. So, everybody, here was Jay's question that he emailed me ahead of time. I want to remind you all that, by the way, I'm going to repeat something I said earlier because we got some more people on the call. A couple of things. Number one is thepowerprogram.com's website is where the dates and the telephone number to call for the conference call each month. So if you want to schedule ahead of time when the calls are, don't expect me to email you reminders because we're just having a technical thing. It's just not working properly. So look on the website, thepowerprogram.com, and you can see the dates of future calls. Put it in your schedule. That's number one. Number two is on that website, you can actually email me questions ahead of time, and that puts you kind of in the front of the queue, if you will, and I'll answer your questions. For example, Marie, she had emailed me this morning the question we just did, and now I'm going to go to Jay. Jay took my training class on Long Island. He said since the Long Island program, which was just last month, he got two listings and one buyer agent accepted offer. Bless you. Thank you, Jay, for that. Congratulations on the two listings. Where did those two listings come from, Jay?
Yeah, how did I get them?
Yes.
One of them was very interesting. I had a signed buyer, and I went to an expired and asked if he would pay me if I brought the buyer. And he said he would. He wanted to sell the thing. And I figured I'd, you know, sneak back and try to get the listing. And then during the discussions, my buyer didn't want to take this place. But he said, I'm the greatest agent who ever lived, and you're crazy if you don't hire Jay. So when I called the guy, he was very predisposed to give me the listing, which he did.
All right. Awesome. Very good. All right, so now here's your question. If you have a buyer agency agreement, do you just take what the listing agent offers as far as the commission? Let me instead of reading what your question is, because I got what it is. Your question is if the listing agent's commission that they're paying to a buyer's agent is less than what you want or agreed to with your buyer's agent, do you ask the buyers to pay the difference in the commission, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, here that's a simple question. There's a couple of things I'll say about that. Is okay. First of all, I would whenever you take a buyer agency agreement, you should be upfront with your buyers as to what you get paid as far as a commission, right? And so
yes.
let them know that usually the listing agent pays for that. Sometimes they don't pay the full amount. So what we do is we work it into the price. So they're not going to have to cut a check for you.
Okay.
But you are, and somehow in the transaction, you are going to get this money. Now, Jay, with this offer, so if you've got a buyer and they make an offer on a listing, and let's say you want to get 3% and they're only paying 2%, what I would do, Jay, is I would present the offer to the sellers minusing 1%. Okay, so let's say it's a $200,000 house to make the math easy. I would the offer is $200,000. I would present an offer of $198,000. Now, when you go to contract, you make sure the attorneys draw up a $200,000 contract because you're going to get that other $2,000, which is that 1% that you were short. Do you follow me?
Oh, okay. Yeah. You know, I've been using it just to test right away. Is this going to be a headache case, or will they listen to me and get a pre-approval and sign an agreement? And then I was reluctant to say, you know, you have to divvy up the difference. So I see this is how you work it in.
Yeah, you don't want the buyers to actually cut a check for your fee, your buyer agent fee. You just work it into the price, and just as long as you're disclosing it up front, that's all there is to it. Okay.
Great. Thanks so much for everything.
Yeah, you're welcome, Jay. Congratulations on those listings, and keep prospecting, okay?
Yes, sir.
All right, great. Now, I'm going to hang. I just muted everybody, so you will only hear me right now, And in a minute, I'll open up the call to everybody. And if you have any questions, I want you to start thinking about what you want to ask me. The reason why I muted you, because one of the people that's not on the call, Steven Seidman, he did email me these questions. And part of what I do with these calls, gang, is if you aren't able to make the call, I promise to still answer your coaching questions. So that way you can listen to the answer when we post the audio recording on the site. So Steve Seidman, he actually emailed me a lot of questions. He obviously is having a mental breakdown in his real estate business. I'm just kidding. All right, so let me go through his questions real quick. He said his friend is a real estate appraiser. She told him not to lower the price on an expired listing that he went on because this appraiser friend thinks it's worth that price. Well, you know, that's nice, but that to me that'd be nothing more than like a FSBO, what they think their price is worth, or what the price is on their home. So whatever you think the house should be listed for, Stephen, and everybody, that's what you should list it for. So I wouldn't listen to the appraiser. So that takes care of that. Let's see. Received a call from a listing I went on last week to come up on Monday to sign it up for 5 months. Hang on, gang. Let me just read this because I'm not sure. Only become more disciplined and eliminate offers. Steve said that he received a call to get a listing. He's gotten 5 listings in the month of February, so he's really kicking butt. But he's starting to get agents who are distracting him and asking for help, stuff like that. Any of you that are very productive in your office, or if you have moments of productivity where you're popping 2-3 listings or something, what's common to happen is the other agents in the office are going to start to want to ask you questions because it's almost like you're lucky and you have all this business coming to you and they want some of that luck to run off, so rub off on them. So it's almost like they'll create questions to ask you that aren't even important questions. They just want to talk to you and be engaged with you and hoping subconsciously some of your mojo that you're experiencing that week or 2 weeks, whatever, will rub off on them. So here's what I would say for any of us that are getting distracted. If you are in the zone and you're producing a lot, number one is be aware that people are going to start to distract you because of what I just said. That's number one. Number two is you need to just really communicate in a really polite way. Say, if you don't have the time to talk to them, tell them, I got to get this done. I've got an appointment I got to prepare for. I've got to make these prospecting calls. Why don't we do this if you want? I'll be more than happy to sit down with you for dinner or let's have lunch together. Like, schedule time when you can help them or give them advice. And I think you should. If you're doing well and other agents want to start to come and pick your brain, I think you should do that. Just do it on your time, not on theirs. And if they can't, you know, work around your schedule, then they're not really committed to the information to begin with. The reason why I think you should help people when they come to you when you're having success is because I've learned more about this business as a trainer and speaker than when I was an agent myself. There's a Chinese proverb that says the next level of learning is teaching. So when you start to transfer what you're doing and your knowledge and you're helping somebody else, it comes back to you tenfold. So that's my advice there. Okay. Not sure I understand. There's one question, Stephen, if you were on the call, I didn't quite understand it, but he was saying that, hang on a second, there are times when we have a seller. It seems like it has two parts to it. I only understand one part of it, which is this. He said, there's times when I'm meeting with a seller, be it a FSBO or expired, where I feel I'm not communicating my message the correct way, and they get them to see my way when it comes to pricing or time. So how do you do that? Well, I covered some of that question when I was coaching Marie. That's number one. Number two is, here's my advice. If you're not communicating well with a FSBO or you feel like they're not really paying attention, or there's a couple of things at work. Number one is, yes, they may not be committed to selling. They're committed to price, and so they're on a different reality. So that's a problem. Number two is, it's very important, gang, when you're on listing appointments to ask a lot of questions. Okay, so if you're not asking a lot of questions about where they're moving, why, those questions help you get clear about what their commitment is, why they're selling, what their time frame is. So make sure you don't rush to get to your visuals in your listing book, that you take that time to really just connect with these homeowners, okay, and connect to what they're committed to. The other thing, and I've said this before, and I just want to highlight this, is the number one technique in communicating anything to anybody is using stories, metaphors, and analogies. Now, if any of you have attended my sessions, you know I've said this, I've taught this, and I hope that you're focusing on it, you're improving on it. I'm going to remind you the best metaphors and analogies to use on an appointment is based on a person's career. So if you're talking to a seller and they happen to be a doctor, you want to maybe use a hospital, doctor, medicine, operation, anything like that to help illustrate the point that you're making. Same thing if they're an accountant and or a nurse, whatever it is, try and find an analogy. And the more you do this, the better you're going to get at it. Okay, so, okay, that's it on that. All right, Steve also asked, having a real hard time with FSBO is very frustrating, needless to say the least. But there wasn't a question in that, Steve, so I don't know how to help you. FSBOs are the hardest part of our business, but I will tell you something. They're only hard in the beginning. In the beginning of you pursuing them, in the beginning of calling them, in the beginning of even the first, 10 minutes of the listing appointment. But I will tell you, FSBOs, there's a high close ratio. You know, I think NAR's percentage was at least 75% of FSBOs wind up listing with an agent. So if you just hang in there, you be persistent and work in those FSBOs, you're going to do really, really well. We're going to see more and more FSBOs coming out this year than ever before because the market is improving on a national basis. So, gang, make sure you're staying focused on that, okay? Now, Rhonda asked about Rhonda Wallace asked, I sent her an email, so I probably answered it, but I'm going to say it anyway. She said, I'm trying to locate some of the letters to mail to expireds. Can you help me direct where to find them? So, gang, let me just tell you, when you go to the Power Program website, and I'm actually not logged in right now. Hang on. When you go to the Power Program website, after you've logged into the website, there is a word up top that says Classroom. And when you go to Classroom, first of all, some of you have are in you were in the Sure Results in New Jersey and in Long Island. There's three bullets down. It says Power Groups, how to run a Power Group meeting. There's an audio program on how to run it. So make sure that you utilize that if you guys are creating your own groups after the three-day training course. But back to Rhonda's question. Under Classroom, you'll see that there's it says letters, expired letter 1, 2, 3, then there's 4, 7. So there's a lot of letters there. There's some visuals to use with buyers, visuals to use with sellers. There's also the dialogue for calling FSBOs and expireds. That's also under the word Classroom. So make sure that you guys check out the Classroom part. Now, when you go to the home page after you've logged in, there's a magazine. I'm going to tell you what's on the site right now. On the home page after you log in, the first thing you will see is the Power Hour call, which was this same concept, this call, but when we did it in February. So you can listen to that call, and I don't know if you can download it. We're working on making it where you guys can actually download the audio recordings. Then you'll see the interview, Joanne Mills, one of our power agents. We interviewed her this month, and the recording for that is also on the website, and we mail you the actual CD. The next thing is you'll see the magazine. I'm going to talk about the magazine now. The new magazine is up. It says March, Power Agent Magazine. And then below that, you'll see slides for February. Every month, I try and give you slides that you can use in front of a buyer, telling a buyer why they should buy now, or and slides for sellers, why a seller should sell now and they should price their property aggressively. So it's usually 2 to 3 slides for each one of those. So you're looking at 4 to 6 slides. I didn't put up March yet because I want you guys to still have access to February. We'll put up March's power slides by the end of the weekend. All right. Now, for those of you that don't have the magazine in front of you, I want to tell you what's in there. For those of you that are in front of a computer, and if you clicked on that magazine that's flipping on the homepage, I'm going to go through just some of the pages that I really like. Again, if you're not in front of a computer, just make notes about what I'm going to say. When I'm done with this magazine, I'm going to unmute the call for everybody. So if you have a question, you can ask me. So write down your question about your business or something you need help with, and I'll help you with that in a second. In the magazine, if you go to page 25, what I did is I gave you an idea of actually doing a listing presentation for children. So I think this is a neat idea, which is if you've got a homeowner who has young children, and I've said this before, that selling a house for a child, if they're, 5, 6, 7, 8, up into their teen years, it can be very traumatic for them, because they have their friends, they don't understand, depending on the age. And so what I'm suggesting that you do is, in the case where the homeowner gives you permission to do this, is do a listing presentation just for the children so you actually customize the conversation. I suggest that you actually create visuals to help communicate the process and be very positive about it. Obviously you're not going to talk to a child about, pricing the house. But, what are the concerns that a child might have about, making new friends? Again, it all depends on their age. But making new friends and, is it going to disrupt their life? Now, I will tell you, there's a very unlikely chance that you may do, in a year, you may only do one or two of these. But I will tell you what's powerful about you having a mini listing presentation, which I like to call conversation, a listing conversation for children. The best part about that is if you happen to be calling a for sale by owner, you meet a for sale by owner or an expired, and you let them know when you find out that they have children, that one of the things you do, and if they want to utilize you this way, is that you actually have a listing conversation or a selling conversation for children to explain the process for them, so that way it's not as traumatic experience for them. So I think that's a great rapport builder, if nothing else. So I really like that idea. Also, I gave you a checklist on page 26 on things that, I call it the survival pack for your car. For example, and I know some of you do this already, you have a basket in your trunk, for coloring books, crayons, reading books for kids. So if you're taking buyers out and they've got kids, you've got that in the back in the trunk. Also, you should have a flashlight, measuring tape, a disposable camera for your buyers if they want to take pictures of their favorite house. So you can give that as a gift to them. I think you actually can have, not I think, I know you can have customized disposable cameras with your logo on it. And you can give that to a buyer. I would tell the buyer, there's no point in taking pictures of all the properties because I'm going to give you sheets and stuff. But your favorite one, you may want to do that. Gum breath mints, because some of you, your breath stinks, so you need that in your kit. just trying to have a little fun, folks. All right. On page 27 in the magazine, see, I hate muting it because I don't know if anybody laughed at that. On page 27, there is an expired letter that I don't think is under the classroom link that I told you about a minute ago. It says, "Dear Hana, having your home on the market is trying at the best of times. It can be disappointing to put so much effort into selling your house and have it not be successful. During my blank years in real estate, I have developed a home selling probability checklist. With this tool, you and I can determine why your home did not sell before putting it back on the market." I'm not going to read the rest of the letter, but that is a letter that you can send to an expired to get in the door. So, now, by the way, this home selling probability checklist, that form was not put in this magazine, but I know it was put in, I want to say, last month or the month before magazine. Any of you new power agents, I want you to take the time to sit down and go through some of all the old magazines, because we keep them up there for a year. And there's a lot of great checklists and forms, and there's so much stuff on here. Let me tell you something. The problem you're going to have with the Power Program website is that there's so much additional information in there that you could get confused or overwhelmed. What should I use? What should I do? What should I use? You know what? Here's what I would suggest. If let's say you created a bin, you know, some racks. You know, you have one bin for listing presentation, one bin for marketing, one bin for prospecting, another one for buyers, like create bins. And if you took the magazine and printed out them, there's going to be a lot of printing. You may want to skip past the transcription. Every magazine, there's a transcription of the person we interview for the month. But then we get to the forms and checklists. Like in this month's magazines, it starts on page 25. So let's say you print out from page 25 to the end of the magazine, and then just take the sheets and put them in the categories of the bin so you can, you know, maybe implement it later on. But if you just took one or two sheets a month and implemented it into your business, you know, that's 12 to 24 new things that you've done to grow your business. So that's my suggestion there. Page 28, I have a home sparkle kit for any new listings where you give to a homeowner a box of stuff to help them in selling their house. For example, light bulbs with higher wattages that they can make the house look brighter, and Windex and air fresheners, stuff like that. Or you can just give them the checklist and let them buy it themselves. But if you wanted to make that investment, it might be a little wow factor for a homeowner. Hell, you can even use that as a gift. You go on a FSBO to break the ice. You know, imagine this, right? You go on a listing appointment to a FSBO, and you carry in with you this little box, you know, not a big box, but a little box, and in there it has, you know, the air freshener and some light bulbs and stuff like that. You say, I call this my home sparkle kit for my clients when you're selling your house. So, yeah, I think that'd be pretty cool. That'd be an icebreaker. Page 29, 30, 31, any of you that took the three-day sure results, you already do have these letters. These are letters that you would send out to a farm every month, not all three. You would rotate these three letters. Now, let me just take a minute to talk about this. If let's say you have a farm area, 500 people or 1,000, whatever that number is, you may want to mail them just once a month something to promote you. Now, I've seen agents do, they've signed up for other coaching programs where they can actually buy stuff to mail out, and there's magazines and there's little doodads and la, la, la. And then I've seen things like, you know, baking recipe cards or, you know, how to fix your car. I don't like any of these, to be honest with you. I think that the best thing to do is to let people know that you're a shaker mover in listing and selling real estate. These letters, page 29, 30, and 31, that's what they do. The first letter says, hey, I just sold a house located at Umpteum. The next letter says, here's the following homes that have sold in your subdivision. And then the last letter is, here's all the houses that have come on the market and that have sold in the last 30 days in your area. If you just took these three letters and rotated them every month, that's going to give you so much more than if you're mailing out recipe cards or something like that. Because it says that you're a shaker mover. Even if the letter that says that here's the following homes that have sold in your subdivision, it doesn't say that you sold it, but the fact that you're sending out the information on your letterhead with your photo, it creates the perception that you were the one who sold it. So it's a very powerful technique. These three letters, give them to a mailing house. Tell them letters 1, 2, and 3. You call them up every month or you email them and say, mail out letter number 1 and change the addresses to this. So you don't even have to do the printing or do the letters. Give it to a mailing house. Give them your mailing list. And every month you just email them where what addresses to put in the body of the letters. So I really love that idea. Now, page 32 and 33, we have a power agent, what they did. Now, some of you have seen my seminar where I've done the eBay versus Ethan Allen. I'm not going to go over that technique again because I think everybody on the call probably would have heard it. But what this agent did is they did a little differently. They put eBay and Ashley because that's where they're from. But they also put, what do they got there? I can't see it. Another the visual isn't good. They could have done a better job graphically. But they have on one side under Ashley, they've got another high-end Hoffman Cows, I think, furniture store. And then over to the left, they put Craigslist. So they didn't just use eBay versus Ethan Allen. They said, well, you got eBay, you got Craigslist versus Ashley and Hoffman to distinguish that, you know, the buyers that go to eBay are the bargain hunters versus the series buyers go to the better store. I love what they did. I think it was a great idea. And then they did another one with the same concept comparing for salebyowner.com with realtor.com. It's the same concept. So I really like what they did. I would have made the visuals a little bit better. On page 34, there's a flyer for the community. It's good. 35, some other good letters. Let me just jump. There's some postcards. There's really great stuff in here. But here's what I do want to tell you. Make a note of this, gang, okay, because some got out of order. Page 37 goes with page 39. Let me say what 39 is. 39 is a template that I created for you. If you were going to do a seminar for your community on how to sell your house in today's market, what's really great about doing that is if you do a seminar on how to sell your house in today's market, and if you get 30 couples coming, that's 15 homes, that's like you doing 15 listing presentations in one shot. Now, I know you would say, yeah, but Darrell, I'm not a speaker. I don't want to do a seminar. Well, if you're looking on page 39, I have there that you have featured speakers. In this example, there's a termite specialist, a real estate agent, that'd be you, an attorney, and a home inspector. And what you would do is you would have each one of these guest speakers talk for 15 minutes. Anybody can talk for 15 minutes. You know, who's not on here is a mortgage company. You can have that. I wouldn't have more than four speakers. That would be you plus three others. So whatever other three categories, right? Now, each one of those speakers would talk for 15 minutes. So if those three guest speakers talk for 15, that's 45 minutes plus you, you open up the event, thanking people for coming and telling them who you are, about your company. So now you're done an hour. Then you would close the seminar after the other guest speakers for questions and answers. That's going to be good, at least another 15 minutes. So now you're at an hour and 15, and you promote this as an hour and a half event, or even if you want to go 2 hours, if you're a good speaker, you think you can handle that, or you have another agent. So my point is you can really customize this. It's a really great idea. Here's the drawback. The drawback is it takes time and energy to do a seminar. You know, you've got to put the flyer together. I try to help you by giving you, here's how it will lay out. And I love the layout. I mean, I personally did this because it's a hobby for me to creating design things. I mean, I haven't done it recently. This goes back about a year ago. Anyway, so I've given you the template. You just got to tweak it a little bit, put the photos in there, you know, put your company logo on it. You've got to mail the flyer out. You've got to place the flyer in some kind of Penny Savers or local paper. If you do this with another agent in your office, you can mail it to their farm and yours to get attendance. You can get your FSBOs. Those using Red X, you can do a mailing to the FSBOs and Red X, even the expireds. There's a lot of great things about this. Let's say if no one comes, this is still good to do because the benefit you'll still get from it is I would then take the flyer and or the ad that you placed in a local paper, put in my listing book and show a homeowner. And this is one of the things that the events that I did. When people see you on a flyer being a speaker about how to sell your house in today's market, this said 2010, so it was a couple of years ago that I, or 3 years ago I did this. But anyway, when they see that in print, then they're going to, it makes you more of an expert. Now, one other thing, let's go back to page 37, because on the flyer it says win a plasma TV. By the way, who's going to pay for all this? Well, your guest speakers. Each one of these guest speakers, you're going to charge like a sponsorship fee, whatever number you want to come up with. You know, you figure out what's the meeting room going to cost. You should not hold it in your office. you'll get less attendance because people don't want to go to a real estate office because they'll think that you're going to trap them in a room and make them sign a listing agreement. So get a hotel somewhere, a small meeting room in the evening for a couple hours. So you've got that expense, the TV, the color TV. If you're promoting that you're going to raffle off a color TV, that's going to bring more people. Who's paying for that? Again, that's the sponsors. Now, on page 37, this is the card that people fill out. You know, to be eligible to win this TV, this card must be filled out completely, the name, address, phone number. And then on the card it says, on a scale of 10, how would you rate this seminar? If you have one idea, if you got one idea, what was that idea? Any future topics? Are you planning on selling your home this year? Would you like a property evaluation? So these cards actually become a lead generation card for you, which is also what you're going to use to do the raffle. So people are going to fill it out because they're going to want that TV, and you do the raffle, the TV, at the end of the seminar. Okay. Now, I'm going to unmute the call, everybody. Let me see here. So you can ask me questions. Okay, no, I'm going to do it this way. Conversation mode. Okay. Everybody is unmuted right now. So does anybody have any questions that you need help with? Anybody, come on. This is your chance to ask me what you need to ask me. Come on, don't be voyeurs now. Does anybody have any questions about their business, whether it's FSBOs, whether it's expired, whether it's doing a listing appointment? Anybody? Or anybody have a question about what we just went over? Okay. All right, well, good. Does somebody have something? Okay. How is this call for you? Did you guys learn anything on this call, yes or no?
Yes.
Oh, Daryl.
Yeah, go ahead.
The reception's a little bit bad, just echoes and noises, so it's hard to hear you. I thought this 50 minutes was great, and I didn't want to hog it by asking another question.
Well, if no one else is, Marie, you should just ask them.
Well, Mike, when we were talking about a meeting room, like in a hotel or something, that's not really something I could afford to do right now. What about, like, in the YMCA or community center? Would that make sense?
Yeah, Marie, here's what I would do is that, and this is what I said, is that you shouldn't spend the money. This should cost you nothing. You should have the sponsors offset the expense, the other guest speakers offset the expense. So you could get, I'll tell you, Marie, you can get for a couple of hours a meeting room in a hotel for about $400. Okay?
Oh, that's not bad.
And no, it's not that bad at all. If you're going to do, if you're going to have like 100, 200 people, it's going to be more. But if you're going to have about 30 people sitting in chairs, not classroom, just theater style, meaning no table, that room's depending on what kind of hotel, if you had it in a Holiday Inn, you could probably get it for $250. But so let's go with the number 400. Yeah, let's say you do 400. Let's say some advertising. Let's say you spend $1,000 on advertising. And let's say you spend another, $400 on a TV or something. So let's say the whole thing comes to $2,500. Well, you can take that $2,500 divided by the other three speakers or have a fourth speaker. So there's a way to just figure it out where you can offset it where you'll pay very little or nothing at all. Okay.
Oh, cause I like that idea. I think it's a great – and I like the flyer and the template.
Yeah, the template, I like the way it's laid out. That's why I laid it out that way. And, again, Marie, the challenge is it's going to take some time to put this all together. You got to find the location, put together the promotional pieces, get your speakers. Now, here's the other thing you can do too, Marie, is the speakers. Let's say you have an attorney, you have a mortgage company. You can ask them to also promote it to their list. So if it's a mortgage company, they have a list of people they've closed loans with, that they closed loans with 10 years ago. And maybe those people 10 years ago, they're looking to sell now. So those are potential sellers. So you can really, this could be, there's a lot of time and energy, and it's not something you would do more than once or twice a year, but it's definitely a lot of benefits to it, okay?
I like it a lot, Daryl, and I think it's something I'm going to plan on for, you know, something like for the spring of next year.
Awesome. So that's great. That's
start looking at my resources now, because this really, this caught my eye right away. And
yeah,
I'm not
yeah.
in favor. Well, so many people are doing the specialty advertising, the door hangers, and I just don't like that.
Yeah, if you don't like it, you know, then don't do it. So when you see the people and stuff like that, so that's good. All right. Does anybody else have any questions or you need help with something? All right. So, gang, was this call useful for you? Yes or no?
Yes.
Yes.
All right. Awesome.
Will it be recorded?
Yes, it has been recorded. So I'm going to, this weekend, we will post the recording of this call on the Power Program website. Again, you'll need your username and password to access it. But once you log in, it'll be right there on the home page for you, okay?
Okay.
All right, gang. So listen, thanks for calling in, taking your time. I'm glad that this was helpful for you. I appreciate it. And remember, we don't just help people buy and sell real estate. We actually help them get to their next level in their life. So what we actually do is we make a difference in people's lives. So the more people that you help and serve, the more money you make. So the money you make is a reflection of the lives that you've helped. So go help a lot of people. Thank you very much. And don't forget to keep smiling, okay?
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
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 Bye-bye.